The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. As you know by now, you can get to the live stream at our very own website, thetrumpet.com/live. On today's show, I talked about it Monday, and it just kept getting pushed back. I'm going to try to get into the study on Adonijah there in the first book of Kings, so we can look forward to that later on. One quick update on yesterday's program, the live stream on Facebook was discontinued, or they stopped it. Hopefully it's going this morning. But yesterday, as you know, we had these clips from that HBO documentary. I forget what was it titled, Kill Chain, something like that. Anyway, it was last March, and you had all of these Democrats, all of these cybersecurity experts that were on there saying just how vulnerable the U.S. election would be because of all of these machines like Dominion and the software like Smartmatic and so on. And so in any event, HBO, I guess, put out some kind of a protest that we were using their clips. And instead of being happy that we're promoting one of their documentaries, I guess they didn't want us to promote it, or they didn't want us to use their clips. Just a few clips from that documentary. And so the live stream ended, and we didn't get quite as many comments on Facebook yesterday because of that. And so, as you see, this is it just shows how important it is that our IT guys have been working hard these last few weeks to make sure that we have, at the very least, to make sure that we have our platform. And we'll get back onto YouTube, hopefully, as soon as possible. But in these recent weeks, it certainly does make you appreciate just how much truth we have in God's church. It really makes you celebrate the truth, as I'll talk about here in just a moment. But so many of these prophecies of God talking about how that the truth is cast to the ground, or how that the truth fails. Isaiah 59 and verse 15 says, judgment is turned away backward. It's turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. It says, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails. That's the time we're living in. We're living in a time when truth has fallen into the street, when truth fails. It's failing. It's failing because so much of the news coverage that you hear coming from the propaganda media, the fake news, as it's been called, and rightfully so. Just recently in my Epistles of Paul class here at the college, we've been studying through, as I think I've said before, we've been studying through the book of Romans. Yesterday we got through Romans 13, these sections or these verses where the Apostle Paul talks about God's love. God's love. He says in Romans 13 that agape love or godly love, it fulfills the law of God. It fulfills God's law. He says in that verse, love works no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's Romans 13. Of course, you can get over to 1 Corinthians 13. That also is written by the Apostle Paul. And there, this magnificent definition of godly love from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through verse 8, four or five verses there. And in verse 6, it says, with respect to God's love, it says that it rejoices in the truth. Or if you look into the meaning there for the Greek words, it means that it rejoices with the truth. Think about how much truth. I mean, I'm talking here about root causes. Think about how much truth would be on display every day if we had the love of God. But see, that's the problem. It's every man for himself. It's all about the narrative. The ends justify the means. And so people lie. And so people don't tell the truth. Do you really think some of these commentators would would be telling so many lies if they had the love of God, if they were really concerned about other people the way that we all should be. Herbert Armstrong gave he made this statement in The Wonderful World Tomorrow book, the book that talks about just how different tomorrow's world will be. He said, if everyone told the truth, if everyone's word were good, see, if Facebook, if HBO, if YouTube, if they were concerned about just telling the truth, look, let's just talk about how vulnerable these systems are. Let's just examine the evidence. Let's go ahead and sit down with this individual that said he was kicked out of the counting center. Let's get his story. Instead, they censor it. Mr. Armstrong said, if everyone told the truth, if everyone's word were good, if everyone were honest, what a happy world we would have. That's just bits and pieces of that longer quote that we've used so many times before. But what a different world this would be if you could count on the fact that everyone told the truth. We were talking about the Ten Commandments in class the other day, and of course there's the thou shalt not, but there's also the positive component to every single command. It's not just about, you know, don't go and steal something. It's also built into that command is a command to give. To give to your brother, to give to others, to love your neighbor, like Romans 13 says. The command is not just to avoid bearing false witness, it's to rejoice in the truth. Jesus said the truth sets us free. That's something to celebrate. You see, I just ran a quick search through some scriptures this morning. Didn't have time to write them down. But you see scripture after scripture where God's apostles or his prophets, just how excited they would be when someone's mind was opened to the truth. This makes me happy, they said, whether it was John or Paul. This makes me really happy. This is something to really rejoice in. The fact that you've come to understand the truth, this quote here, I think this is a continuation of that World Tomorrow quote. It says, the only hope of justice, of peace, of truth, of right solutions to all this world's problems is the coming in power and glory of Christ to set up world government. That's the only hope for justice, for peace, and for truth. Jesus Christ is about to return, and he's going to bring with him a massive truth bomb, the truth of God. And all of these darkened minds are going to finally have their minds open to the light of the glorious gospel of truth, the truth of God. He says further, light will replace darkness, truth will replace error. Truth will replace error. You know, if there's one thing about all of this censorship, if there's one positive to take away from all of this, it really does make you appreciate the truth. God's love, said the Apostle Paul, God's love rejoices in the truth. It rejoices with the truth. It takes the truth of God to truly rejoice, to truly fill up on the joy of God's way of life. There's a few positives to take away from this very dark and negative world, and it is dark, and every time we play a clip, it seems, you just shake your head at the level of ignorance or deceit, incompetence, whatever it might could be. Shepard Smith, I forget which station he moved to, but he used to be on Fox News, and yesterday he was talking, basically carrying on with their favorite narrative from the past year, that face masks will save the world, I guess. But he has this clip about this store, if you know anything about the state of Florida. It's one of the few free states where Governor DeSantis has said, no, look, we've got to get back to work. We've got to end these lockdowns. We've got to carry on with our lives. So that's the position that Florida has taken. And so here's this clip that, and Shepard Smith, of course, can't believe this, that there would actually be a store in Florida that didn't even ask for you to wear a mask. And you know what struck me about, I want to watch it again here. I just saw it once this morning, but just look at the people. They have footage of this store, all of these people carrying on with their lives. None of them are wearing masks, and they just look like they're enjoying each other. They just look happy. But this is very, very serious. As far as the news commentators are concerned, this is a super spreader. This is going to spread COVID all over the world. Listen, look at the footage, see for yourself, and then consider the way that it's reported on from Shepard Smith. Clip one.
Look at this. This was the scene at Oaks Farm Seed and to Table Market in Naples today. NBC's Sam Brock took this video, which went viral. It looks like it was taken pre-pandemic, right? Most customers and employees not wearing masks at all. The store's policy includes mask exemption guidelines. The sign says if you have a medical condition that you don't have to wear a mask, and nobody inside will ask about medical conditions, so masks are not enforced. The owner told Sam Brock this when questioned about the policy.
Is your position then about medical exemptions, or is it about the fact that you don't think masks work and that the virus is not a real thing?
I know that the masks don't work, and I know that the virus has not killed 400,000 people in this country. That's total hogwash.
Florida does not have a mask mandate, but masks do work. The science is crystal clear. In July, the CDC director said the United States could get COVID under control in 4 to 8 weeks if we would only all wear masks.
Wow, the science is clear, he said. The CDC said it in July, right after they said that masks don't work in February, in March. The science is clear. This is from the CDC director at the time. This woman was the deputy director, Rochelle Walensky. She tweeted on February 5th, 2019, the CDC does not currently recommend the use of face masks to help prevent coronavirus. It says, this is from 2019. It says, COVID is not spreading in communities in the U.S. Take everyday preventative actions to help slow the spread of respiratory illness. So that's what she said back at the end of 2019. And you're probably familiar with the good doctor, Dr. Fauci, the highest paid federal employee in the United States. What he had to say, this is from March 8th of last, this is less than a week before, I think it was President Trump declared that national emergency, and then we went right into the 15 days to stop the spread. The 15 days that turns into, I guess, 15 years. 15 years to stop the spread. It's going on for ages. And they want it to go on longer, these multi-millionaire commentators. Listen to Dr. Fauci on March 8th of last year, clip two.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
That's Dr. Fauci from March 8th. I don't think I'll take the time to play it, but Grabian just put out this long montage of Dr. Fauci just contradicting himself over the past year, saying one thing one month and then the next month it changes. The science, though, is clear, according to Shepard Smith. And these people in Florida, that grocery store, they're evil. Because they're not wearing the mask. Just leave that. Why are the ordinary Americans the villains here? Why can't people just go on about their lives This is the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. He was on one of the shows last night just talking about why he's opened up his state. Here's clip three.
But I also think we've saved the livelihoods of so many people. I think you'll have less suicide deaths, less drug abuse deaths, less deaths of despair in Florida because we were open. And I think a lot of the lockdowners lost sight of that. We are less than the national average for per capita COVID mortality. 25 states are higher than us. And yet, as you said, our unemployment rate is much less than the national average. We have kids in school. And in December, we had $330 million more in revenue than was projected because people are coming here and they understand that Florida's open and a place where they can pursue their dreams.
That's the governor of Florida just giving a little bit of truth. This is something to be positive about. Look, we don't have a higher infection rate here. And plus, our economy's doing better. And plus, we've avoided so many of these other ills, like suicide and such. It's not happening as much anyway. So he's telling the truth, but keep in mind, we're at a time when truth fails. Truth fails. You see lies everywhere. There was quite a lot in the news yesterday about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She produced this video earlier this week talking about how frightened she was during the January 6th protest. She was fearing for her life. She heard someone shouting for her outside of her door, "Where is she? Where is she?" And then she talked about some of the abuse that she took even as a, I guess, as a young girl. And the left just went, I mean, they thought this was fantastic that someone on the inside would actually speak out and tell the truth. And tell the truth about the insurrection and tell the truth about the attempted coup. And tell the truth about the second coming of 9/11. So she told this fabulous tale, as it turns out. Because we learned yesterday that her office, the office that she talked about in this Newsweek article, I believe it was, it's about a quarter of a mile from the Capitol. So she was just totally making it up. She was making it up. It's an Emmy award-winning performance, for sure. Something that Andrew Cuomo would be quite proud of. This is AOC earlier this week, clip four.
These yells of these men, or just this a man, just one man, going, "Where is she? Where is she?" And so I look through this door hinge, and I see this white man in a black beanie bump, just like open the door of my personal office and come inside the personal office and yell again, "Where is she?" I don't even know if I held my breath, but I was just, you know, here behind there, and I just start sliding down. I don't know, so deeply rattled. I'm still processing the end of my life when I come out. And I come out, and this man is a Capitol Police officer.
Now, there's a Republican congresswoman who's, I guess, just next to AOC's office, and she said that their building was never breached. This is a building, again, about 1,500 feet from the dome or the main Capitol building. But this other congresswoman says that her building was never breached by the protesters. She said breathless attempts by media to fan fictitious news flames are dangerous. It's dangerous to fan these kinds of flames. But they're doing it. They're doing it. And even as she's being exposed as a liar, they're pointing at those that are now pointing to the truth and saying, you're trying to attack me. You're the one who's lying. This is from the New York magazine, the New York Times, I believe it is, about AOC's storytelling. The clarifying power of AOC's storytelling. This woman writes, "The entire stream was AOC at the height of her rhetorical powers. It showcased her unique ability to not just communicate to the public compellingly, to get a political message across, but also authentically, giving the most in-depth, extremely personal account we have yet heard from a lawmaker about what it was like to be inside the Capitol that day. It was also a move of defiance against her Republican colleagues who have been trying to deflect from their own culpability in the January 16 events by minimizing her and others' experiences, insisting that everyone should just move on. The left can't move on from this. I mean, this is giving them every excuse they've needed to blot out the evidence, to make sure that the evidence of voter fraud is never given a hearing in court, to make sure that it's never given a hearing in Congress. All that you need to know is that President Trump should be impeached and convicted and should never be able to run for office again. Listen to Maxine Waters last night on CNN, clip 5.
As a matter of fact, he absolutely should be charged with premeditated murder because of the lives that were lost with this invasion, with this insurrection.
Premeditated murder. So Donald Trump is a murderer. Well, that's not surprising. She went on to say this in the very next statement, clip 6.
And so, yes, we are threatened, but we can't back up. We've got to fight as hard as we can to see to it that there's some justice.
We've got to fight as hard as we can. That's the word they're keying in on the January 6th speech by President Trump, because he said, we've got to fight. And they say, well, that incited the insurrection. And there she is on the news last night saying, we've got to fight. And she said much worse than that. It's Donald Trump, though, who's guilty. It's Donald Trump who is the murderer. He's guilty of premeditated murder. This woman works at Congress. She's been a congresswoman for years and years and years. That's Maxine Waters being Maxine Waters. Here's what Alan Dershowitz said last night. I think this was on his own show. Talking about the sham impeachment, clip 7.
This brief, filed by the Democrats in the House of Representatives and submitted to the Senate, this brief is more dangerous to freedom of speech, more dangerous to our democratic governance than anything they accuse Donald Trump of doing. Donald Trump's a former president. These are members of Congress. They're asking the Senate to abridge the First Amendment. They're telling the Senate to ignore the First Amendment.
That's the left-wing attorney, Alan Dershowitz, saying that this sham impeachment, this is doing more harm to the democratic process or democratic government than anything Donald Trump ever did. It's actually there in the brief. Look, the First Amendment doesn't apply here. That's what they're saying. That's what they're trying to convince these senators of. Don't worry about the First Amendment. The First Amendment's the supreme, it's part of the supreme law of the land. The First Amendment, it doesn't apply here. It only applies to Maxine Waters when she says she wants to, as she said a year or two ago, take out Donald Trump. She wants to take him out. She can say that, no problem. But for Donald Trump to talk about fighting, to fight for the truth, to fight for what's right. There was an interesting story, by the way. Max Hastings, he made a great point. Richard sent me this a few days ago. I just haven't had the time to get to this. But to just talk about how we're so preoccupied with certain things as well. I mean, it's not just a matter of truth failing and the fact that we're being told so many lies. It's also about what's being ignored. I mean, real existential threats, dangers. And the way it's discussed with respect to, in this case, military history. He says, the world applauds the scientists who have created vaccines to deliver humanity from COVID-19. One certainty about our future, there will be no funding shortfall for medical research into pandemics. I mean, that's got everyone's support. We've got to get the vaccines. We've got to have a supply of face masks. Everybody's got to strap them on. It's for our safety and well-being. It's for the world. it says here. Now notice a contradiction. War is also a curse, responsible for untold deaths. Humans should do everything possible to mitigate it. And even if scientists cannot promise a vaccine, the obvious place to start working against future conflicts is by researching the causes and courses of past ones. How about if we delve into our history? How about if we look at root causes? The root cause of all of these lies we see is that there's no love. And it's the same for war. The untold numbers, deaths that have happened in the last century, that happen every year on this planet, all over the place. And yet, well, even in the world of history, you see it's just kind of being erased away. It says, yet in centers of learning across North America, the study of the past in general and of wars in particular is in spectacular eclipse. It says, history now accounts for a smaller share of undergraduate degrees than at any time since 1950. So he makes a good point. It's not that we're not just looking at as Jesus prophesied. We are headed toward great tribulation. You want to talk about threats, dangers that we're facing? John Kerry and others want to focus on climate change. Many, many others, as you've heard in this first segment, they want to talk about face masks. Well, what about this? What about this? It says here, Frederick Logval, a distinguished Harvard historian and author of seminal works on Vietnam, along with a new biography on JFK, remarked to me on the strangeness of this, given that the U.S. is overwhelmingly the most powerful, biggest spending military nation on Earth. It says, how this came to be and what it has meant for America and the world is surely of surpassing historical importance, he said. Yet it's not at the forefront of research among academic historians in this country. Here we've got all of these armaments, this military hardware all over the world, the proliferation of nuclear bombs everywhere, and nobody seems to be studying. Nobody's turned loose this army of experts to try to get in there and to figure out, well, hang on a second, we don't want another war. So how should we stop this? How should we prevent this from happening? It says, an eminent historian recently told me of a young man majoring in science at Harvard who wanted to take humanities on history, including the U.S. Civil War. He was offered only one course, which addressed the history of humans and their pets. So there you go. It's all about a well-rounded education. Well, I speak as a fool. It says, war is no more likely to quit our planet than our pandemics. The academics who spurn its study are playing ostriches. Their heads look no more elegant, buried in the sand. See, we've just buried our heads into the sand where there really are some dangerous concerns to consider and study. Well, we'll get into some important history ourselves when we come back. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Do you know me? Do you love me? Do you know I exist? Do you exist? You know what it feels like to not be heard. You know what it feels like to not be answered. Is this how you feel toward God? You don't have to feel alone. You don't have to be distant from God. You don't have to wonder if He will ever answer. You just have to learn how to pray. There is a God, and there are many wrong ways to communicate with Him, but there is a right way. Once you learn how to pray, you will break through and converse with your very Creator. You will experience the most fulfilling, meaningful, thrilling relationship you can imagine. God will hear you. God will love you. God will answer you. If you learn how to pray. Go to thetrumpet.com and search How to Pray.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Got to keep playing that because you never know when it's going to be deleted from the internet, erased forever. He put together the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in history. It happened right here in the United States of America. The election steal that resulted in the fake inauguration and now a fake president. We talked on Monday about Absalom, one of David's sons, who appointed himself as ruler, as king. He said, I'm the king. And as I pointed out on Monday, you know, what did God think about that? I mentioned the example of Joe DeCotch following in the steps of Herbert Armstrong. Well, not hardly. He didn't follow in his steps. He lusted for power. He managed to get into that office of pastor general, and then he appointed himself as an apostle just months later. He said, I'm an apostle of God. God had a different view. Well, coming back to Absalom, you can look at that history in 2 Samuel 15, 16, and in chapters 18 and 19. I didn't have time to get into that on Monday's show, but you can see, again, God delivering Jerusalem. David had to flee, but God intervened, and David returned, and David remained as king. You can fast forward to 1 Kings 1, and we're toward the end of David's life. And now we come to another son named Adonijah, and he didn't learn from the history. He didn't learn from the history in 2 Samuel. He didn't learn from the history of his own brother, Absalom. We get to the end of King David's life, and Adonijah said, well, I want to be king now. I'm going to make myself king. Verse 5 of 1 Kings 1, it says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. He exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots, horsemen, and so on. He put himself in that position. He exalted himself. He developed it wouldn't be a voter fraud organization, but it was a fraud. It was fraudulent from the very beginning. Now, verse 6 says that David didn't crack down on Adonijah. So this was partly this rebellion, this insurrection. This was partly David's fault because he didn't correct his son. And just like with Absalom, he was probably talented and nice looking and eloquent and all those things that look impressive. They look pretty good. Well, he must be the king. I mean, look at him. Look at how impressive he is. It says in verse 7, and Adonijah conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah, they helped him. So they helped with this attempted coup. Abiathar and Joab, individuals that previously, for a time, had been very loyal to David, for the most part, certainly Abiathar, very loyal, but not all the way through to the end. Abiathar, he was right there with David when David became king. He stayed with David while Saul was chasing him, chasing David into the wilderness, forcing David to hide in caves. Abiathar was with David when it looked pretty miserable. He stayed with David. He was loyal to David through many of David's mistakes, David's sins and faults and so on. He was with David through Absalom's rebellion. But here we are, right at the end of David's life, and what a mistake. What a catastrophic mistake. To leave God's man, to abandon God's man, to abandon God's king. Right at the very end. You see, God's going to test, he's testing all of us, our loyalty, our faith. He wants to see how much we love the truth, how much we rejoice in truth. He's testing us, and he'll test us right up to the end. Look at what he's done to the Laodiceans. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that God sent strong delusion to see if they loved the truth. How much do we love God's truth? You look at Mr. Armstrong again, that church history, that recent church history. There were those, just to use this example here, Abiathar, there were those who stood up for Mr. Armstrong during the rebellion in the 1970s. They fought for the church. They fought for Mr. Armstrong. They took a stand for truth. That was in the late 1970s. And then in 1986, when Mr. Armstrong dies, they abandoned him and his legacy. They destroyed his legacy. They helped with the rebellion. They joined the insurrection. It says in verse 8, not all of them rebelled. Verse 8, but Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Nathan and Zadok, some of the top military leaders, they stayed close to David. They supported David all the way to the end. When most of the other top individuals in the kingdom, they turned against David. They rebelled against David. It says in verse 9, and Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But then it mentions those that didn't go along with the rebellion. So what we're seeing here, what we're reading here, is an exact replica of Absalom's rebellion. It's history repeating itself. Here comes another fraud. Here comes another fraudulent leader. Here comes another fake king. Verse 11, wherefore Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, does reign? And David, our Lord, knows it not. So these advisors that remained faithful to David, they went to Bathsheba and told her about the wicked plot. And Nathan urged Bathsheba to expose this coup before David, her husband, and to urge him to take swift action. Remember in 2 Samuel 15, I read that verse where it said that the conspiracy was strong, and it was strong here as well. They went to Bathsheba with this urgent message. Look, there's a strong conspiracy at work. David needs to act. Verse 20, it says, and you, my Lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon you, that you should tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass when my Lord the king shall sleep and his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. So they're making this appeal now to David. Verse 26, Adonijah, by the way, was planning the the celebration, the inauguration. It was a done deal in his mind. Verse 26 says, "But me, even me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, has he not called?" So Nathan says, "Look, we're still with you. We haven't been invited to this celebration. You have this massive power struggle, the loyalists, and then you have the traitors." Verse 29, it says, "And the king sware and said, as the eternal lives, that has redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto you by the eternal God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon, your son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day." So David decides to take some immediate action, and he quickly plans for the coronation of Solomon. Zadok is given the honor of anointing David's son. Verse 32, "And King David said, call me Zadok, the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah. And they came before the king, and it says, the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of our Lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow you with the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon." And this was a tradition, by the way, that would continue for centuries, for millennia. God save the king. God save King Solomon in this case. Verse 36, it says, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen, the eternal God of my Lord, the king say so too." So their focus, these loyalists, their focus was on, even though David was an old man, you can see at the start of chapter 1 that he was in bed a lot. So, you know, it's easy to abandon ship when you feel like that leader is aging and not as sharp as he used to be, or he's about to die. As I say, we saw a lot of this in the mid-1980s. But these loyalists, they saw God behind the man. And God doesn't get old. God is God. And if God's the one that puts that individual in the office, that's what we want to magnify, like the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, I'm here to magnify my office. It's not about me. It's not about the man. It's the office that God has ordained. And Benaiah and Zadok and Nathan, they saw where God was. They saw God behind the man. Verse 38, it says, "So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the..." It says, "They went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule, and they brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all of the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them." So this royal celebration, it sent some shockwaves through the city. And the people that were over at the fake coronation got worried and thought, what's going on? Why are they celebrating, you know, down the road there? What's happening? Verse 43, it says, "And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, Verily, our Lord King David has made Solomon king." Uh-oh. The tables are turning. Verse 45, "And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. And they are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard." This is the celebration that you're hearing. Solomon was just anointed and made king. It says, "And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid." This is verse 49. "And they rose up and they went every man his way." They just scattered like cockroaches when the lights are turned on. They didn't want to be seen as part of the coup, as part of the insurrection. See, when the conspiracy is strong and when it looks like it's, you know, they're going to pull it off, they're plotting and they're scheming, they're heavy-handed, they're abusing their power, they're seizing power. But once they're exposed, once they're exposed as frauds, look at what happens. They run for cover. They were all cowards, really. They were all telling lies. They were all part of the conspiracy. Verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying..." So here he is giving some wise counsel to his son Solomon. As I said, David was old and near death. And it says, "I go the way of all the earth," verse 2, "be you strong therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Eternal your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and whithersoever you turn yourself. In all that you do, keep the charge of God. Heed his testimony. Heed the truth." Talks about the law and the commandments and the judgments. That's the truth of God. Rejoice in the truth. Celebrate the truth. Celebrate others that come to an understanding of the truth. Follow in the steps that I've put in front of you. Follow that example. Don't be like Absalom, Solomon. Don't be like Adonijah. Don't be like Abiathar. Don't be like Joab. Don't be like so many others who fell away, who went astray, who plotted a conspiracy. Stay faithful to the truth. Stay faithful to these testimonies, to your history. Don't get weak, and certainly not at the very end. You're so close. You continue on. This is some of the counsel that King David gave to his son. And of course, as we know, during Solomon's reign, I mean, that was the real apex of Israel, the kingdom, its glory and splendor. It happened during the reign of King Solomon. Well, later on in the story, initially Adonijah was given a chance to live, but then he rebelled again and was put to death. Joab too. And Solomon took one of the loyalists, I think it was Benaiah, who was given the task or the responsibility of executing those two traitors for treason. You can read about that. I think it's in the second chapter. In any event, when you're living in a time when there's so much treasonous action, so much traitorous behavior, as I said at the top of the show, it really and truly does make you appreciate the truth of God. Celebrate it. Rejoice in it. Rejoice with it. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13, it's right there in the God-inspired definition of godly love. God's love rejoices with truth. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a couple of emails coming in from you, the viewers. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
A few emails here from the last few days. It says, thank you for keeping me sane in these dark days. Every day I wait for your messages. I'm 80 years old and have read your wonderful books since the 1970s. It says, looking through comments, I feel I'm the only person in the UK who listens. Well, I think there's a few more, actually. It says, but I love and care about the USA and President Trump. We need your backing. I send my love and gratitude to you all. Another one here coming in from Florida, one of the free states, as I said in the first segment. It says, now that you have moved the Trumpet videos to the website, I can and have removed YouTube from my system. The main purpose for having it was to get your videos. Keep going. I watch The Key of David every Friday morning at 6 a.m. and look forward to The Trumpet Daily, although sometimes I miss one or the other and need to catch up. I really enjoy the insight you provide. That's from Florida. Then another one here says, keep praying for God to, in his time, his time frame, to use his power to expose the corruption and to bring President Trump back. It says, I continue in faith and agree with the article and am sad that so many don't have faith. May God bless all of you and the hard work that you're doing, bringing us, it says, the truth. You can see a pretty common theme in a lot of the emails that we get. A lot of appreciation for the truth. A lot of people, a lot of listeners, a lot of viewers rejoicing in the truth. This one comes from Arkansas. It says, just before the program aired this morning, I was reading words from the Isaiah booklet. It says this, he gives this quote, we simply will not finish this work without a war. Anciently, the temple building actually stopped. But they didn't give up at that point. Just because Mystery of the Ages is not here right now doesn't mean God wants us to stop fighting. He's talking about some of the history during that litigation period. It says we must fight and fight and fight until Maxine Waters wouldn't like this. Well, I mean, she can say it. That's true. But this is impeachable, this statement. I just realized this. Pretty amazing. Until we know that God is the one who stopped it. It says, he does not want us to let Satan-inspired men stop his truth. He wants people who will stand up and fight to give this world the truth it so desperately needs. And then the listener says, I felt inspired by these words again and see them timely for this moment. Extremely grateful to God for your ease and energy in giving us a palatable news source that is the truth. That's right. The truth. One more here. It says, I've read the Philadelphia Trumpet for many years and contribute when I can to your church. I took the Herbert Armstrong Bible Correspondence course several years ago and believe your church is the true church of God. Ever since the election fraud happened, I have been fearful about what is happening in our country. But I must say that if I didn't already get the Trumpet magazine and also watch your radio program daily, I would be more saddened about what is happening in our country. Your program lifts my spirits and draws me closer to God in prayer because it brings me hope, and so many people need it now. So many people need hope. So many people need the truth. If you'd like to email the program, you can send your comment to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.